Yeah, but the ones for that are already good.
We have people on the telecom specifically to testify. He's gonna be, I just. Are you ready? I'm sorry. Call to order the House State Affairs Committee today. I'll call to order the House State Affairs Committee. Today is Monday, September 30th, 1991. The time is 10:20.
I'm here.
We have a quorum. Representatives Moyer, Baker, Choquette, Bruckman, and I'm representing Camino. Today we'll be hearing House Bill 327 relating to primary elections, HDR 13 relating to runoff elections for the governor and lieutenant governor, HDR 45 relating to the reapportionment board and reapportionment, HDR 47 relating to confirmation of public officials, HDR 38 relating to constitutional debt retirement fund. The latter four are all constitutional amendments that, if passed by the legislature, would go to a vote of the people at the next general election. House Bill 327 is a bill dealing with primary issues that we need to deal with because of situations that have gone on with political parties closing their primary in the state. I just say I apologize for being late. The governor this morning did announce another settlement of the Exxon Valdez oil spill litigation, and had a news conference on it and a briefing over there, and so it's the process continues on that situation. House Bill 327. At the present time, the Alaska statutes regarding primary elections are not consistent with federal constitution requirements. House Bill 327 has been introduced by the House State Affairs Committee as a vehicle by which to correct these inconsistencies. Under current law, Alaska has a blanket primary in which a voter may vote for any candidate on the ballot regardless of party affiliation. However, now that the Democratic, Republican, and Green parties have all voted to close their primaries, Alaska law must be amended to reflect a party's ability to restrict who votes in its party. In the U.S. Supreme Court ruling, it was decided that a political party's First Amendment right of association overrides state law. Alaska law must be changed to reflect that ruling. Under the closed primary system, a voter must declare a party affiliation or non-affiliation in order to receive a ballot of that party. Currently, party affiliation is optional under Alaska state law, and this issue must be addressed. Although a person may now designate party affiliation at the time of registration, 30 days in advance of an election, a change of party affiliation may need to be allowed at the time of the primary in order to not disenfranchise voters. This also will need to be addressed statutorily because of current law. Section 2 of the bill provides for a blanket primary to continue for those parties that do not close their primaries. House Bill 327 would also require that a party notify the Division of Elections of any change in their primary at least 90 days in advance of an election order in order to give the division time to implement the changes. House Bill 327 provides that the Director of Elections need not print a blanket ballot of all the primaries, or all the parties close their primaries. So this may sort of be correct, and we'll have Division Elections up in just a second. John Gagin is online. He's legal counsel for the legislature and the drafter of the bill. John, would you give us your overview of the problem and what this bill goes, how this bill tries to address the issue, and maybe what issues we haven't addressed in this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think you covered it fairly well in your opening statement there. The The problem, as you said, is that under the 1986 U.S. Supreme Court decision, a party's First Amendment association rights override state primary laws if they're inconsistent. It's my feeling that if this law were not enacted, that the various parties would still be entitled to get their closed primaries, whether through a court action or whether just through the lieutenant governor saying, look, the federal constitutional law is clear here and I have to follow that law. However, I think that the state law certainly should be consistent with the federal law, so I think this bill should be enacted for that reason alone. And second, this bill does contain a couple of features that I think would probably follow anyway, but might not. One, as you noted, Mr. Chair, is the requirement in Section 3 of the bill that the Division of Elections be given 90 days' notice before it is required to put these changes into effect. This is obviously what happened last year, where the Republican Party gave notice to the Division of Elections very close to the date of the primary election. The Division of Elections said they didn't have time to modify it. The Republican Party went into federal court, and the Division of Elections prevailed. The federal court found that the state's interest in orderly elections in this case overrode the party's interest in having the 1990 primary conducted as a closed primary under the party rules. Without this bill, to this effect, it would be unclear as to how much notice a party would have to give. This sets a figure of 90 days, which I think can be constitutionally defended. It's based on the Division of Elections estimations as to how much time would be necessary for them to gear up for if a party announces a change in their rules before the, how much time Division of Elections would need to take that change of rules and translate it into putting the primary ballot together. The other thing in the bill that I think would follow anyway, but arguably might not, is the provision again in Section 3, this is new sub C, that says that you can only vote once. The Republican Party has taken the position that somebody can vote with under the Republican Party and can vote in somebody else's party. I think it's implicit in Alaska law now that you can't do this. There's a couple of statutory references to getting one ballot, which I think would sustain a Division of Elections contention that you can only vote in one primary, but I think it's certainly desirable that it be stated clearly in the election law. As far as what issues are not addressed in this bill, I'm not really aware of any. Probably Ms. Ziegler will have some suggestions there, but it seems to me that as far as the broad issue of accommodating state law to federal constitutional law, that this bill does that. Thank you.
All right, thank you, John. Any questions, Council? We have with us then Elizabeth Ziegler and Charlotte Thuxton. Is that correct?
Thuxton.
With the Division of Elections. So, if you would.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. The Division of Elections is happy to work with House State Affairs Committee to work out a plan to implement the party's new rules. The United States Supreme Court has held that political parties have a constitutional right to free association and can determine who can vote in their primaries. The division's position is that this right must be tempered with the division's right to maintain the integrity and orderly conduct of state elections. In light of the decisions of the Democratic, Green, and Republican parties, it appears that the voters of the state may be confused as to who can vote for what candidates. The division's goal is to create a voting situation that makes it as easy as possible for people to vote in the primary and know that his or her vote will count. The division proposes that any legislation regarding the primary include the following language. Parties must inform the Division of Elections of any party rule changes that impact the conduct of the primary by March 1 of any election year. Voters may change their party affiliation at the polling place. And three, a voter may vote only one ballot in the primary election. The division has included a fiscal note which estimates that the primary changes will cost about $450,000 extra to the state. And this is only an estimate. When the division prepared its affidavit for the 1990 lawsuit with the Republican Party, the cost was estimated at about $1 million due to the fact that the party wanted the state to implement its primary in time for the 1990 elections. With proper notice, the state can plan more effectively, but the attached fiscal note is far from absolute. There may be additional costs due to the increased ballot order, printing, and data programming that will not be apparent until we actually start the process. In conclusion, while the division will implement any party's rule changes, we are concerned about the cost. The burden to the voting public and the cost to the state may outweigh the benefits to the political parties. Frankly, we believe that if parties desire to select their own candidates, that they should do so privately by the convention system.
Thank you, Sigrid. Let me throw out a couple initial questions. The bill that we have before us sets a 90-day. Now, this 90 days for any rule changes, notification to the division, you're asking that be changed to March 1st, so that's closer to a 120 days. Comment on that? It's
about 150 days.
Okay.
It's important to know what political parties are going to do by that date, because every election year, we go out and train our election workers in rural areas and all over the state. And this is traditionally done in March and April. What we see is probably will have the most impact will be the questions that occur to poll workers when this type of system is trying to be implemented. We want to make sure that our poll workers all know how to handle the situation so that we don't have confusion out there. And cost approximately about $80,000 to $100,000 to conduct this training. And so to duplicate it again would be impossible.
I'd like your opinion on a couple things. With the rule change that is been submitted by the Republican Party, what groups of people right now would you say will have the right to vote a Republican primary ballot?
My analysis of that is that the Republicans, nonpartisans, and undeclared.
Now, undeclared meaning they did not check anything.
Right.
And the way the law stands right now, would you assume that someone could vote that Republican ballot and then go and get a Democratic ballot?
No. The Republican rule has requested that type of action, but the division does not support that at all. We feel that in order to maintain the integrity of the process, that people must be given the option of one ballot when they go to the polls, and that's not only for the voter himself or herself, but to maintain order at the election or at the polling place.
Now, my understanding is, and I haven't seen it in writing, but the Democratic plan says anybody can vote in their primary except, or that has not voted in another.
Mm-hmm.
So you would say then that anyone that came in and asked for a Democratic
primary ballot, you would give them two. You would give them one.
Well, there's also a second part. They also said by convention. So theoretically, if a party decided to select its candidates by convention, we would not know who attended that convention, but the easiest way to enforce the Democratic rule then would be to foreclose anyone who was a member of the other party from voting in a Democratic primary.
So in other words, you may make it a rule and you may decide that only Democrats could take a Democratic primary. Is that what you're saying?
No. No, right now, the Democrats say anyone can vote in their primary as long as they haven't voted in another primary or in a convention. So we would...
So if they're registered for, say, the Green Party, and the Green Party has a convention, nobody that is registered as a Green Party person could vote in any primary.
At least for the Democrats.
Oh, they could. Well, then they couldn't vote in the Republican one because they don't meet the qualifications that you already stated.
That's right, because they are also a member of a party. Only nonpartisans and undeclared can vote for Republicans.
And we have one other party then official, is that correct? We have the Alaska Independence Party.
Mm-hmm.
Have they made a determination on how they would, or have you been notified of how they want to handle their primary situation?
Not officially. I was told that they may be meeting in October, early October.
Okay, so we have nothing there. Questions from the committee here? Representative Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Ziegler, you indicated that if a person voted in a convention, that they could not then vote in another party ballot?
Well, that's only the Democratic Party. They're the only ones that have addressed that issue in their rule.
In other words, though, you would need that party's list of conventionaries, the ones who voted.
Either that or just foreclose the entire group. And that issue, you know, has to be determined at how we would enforce that.
Other questions from the committee? Representative Choquette?
Thank you. Then, Ms. Ziegler, you're asking for 150 days as opposed to 90 days on the bill.
Yes.
In terms of your last statement in your position paper says, frankly, we believe that if the parties desire to select their own candidates, they should do so privately by the convention system.